Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got the best listening audience in the world. Bunch of right side ruffians, we like to call them. And folks, listen, by the way, I say it all the time, but if you're driving and you're getting outside of our AM, FM capability at WVNN, which is pretty hard to do because you're basically outside of North Alabama or Southern Tennessee at that point, just get on your smartphone, go to rightsideradio.org, click listen live, and wherever you is, there we is. But hey, I want to bring on a friend to the show, a friend to me, really. State Representative Connie Rowe has been representing District 13. She's a resident of Jasper here in the listening area. She also previously worked as a criminal investigator for the County District Attorney's Office, and she was my recollection was she was the first female police chief for the city of Jasper. And she is on the show with us right now with an announcement about a change in career. So, hey, Connie Rowe, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Bill, it's good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear from you. So you were in studio with us, what, about a month and a half ago, I guess? And
right.
And I knew something was brewing. I guess it's clear evidence that Phil Williams can keep a secret. But you got a career change, my friend, and it just kind of got leaked out yesterday. So tell us about it.
Well, I'm not going to run for re-election this next quadrennium. I've been offered and am just so very grateful to the Lieutenant Governor for an opportunity to come to work in his office. And I'll be his senior advisor. And I kidded with someone that I'm pretty sure the reason I'm a senior advisor is because I'm 58 years old and he is not. But I will start in his office on January the 1st. Look forward to it. And I'm just really excited about the opportunity.
Well, I'm excited for you. I mean, I take it back. Let me say this. I'm excited for you. It's a loss, I believe, for the legislature. Although I recognize that you'll still have your hand in the mix. As senior advisor, I assume that you'll also be able to help shepherd legislation that he's interested in and sort of, you know, herd some cats and do the things that you know how to do with either a taser in your hand or just, you know, the hand of goodwill, one or the other.
Absolutely. You know, he has been very responsive to needs in the state, has had a legislative package every year, which, you know, not every lieutenant governor does. He's been very involved in legislation that was essential to the state moving forward. And absolutely, I'll be a part of trying to move those efforts further.
Well, and I'm glad of it. And I guess we'll get back to that in a second, but I would dare say, though, that since your new job duties, your new shift doesn't take place until January 1, that means that for the potential, any special sessions we have coming up, which I know there's at least one or two, that you'll still be in place for those.
Yes. In fact, the governor sent out a letter to legislators today to give them a heads up. She'll do a special call next week, and so on the 27th, we'll go in for the first special session on prisons.
Okay. All right. Well, there's breaking news right there. So I hadn't seen that letter yet. We knew it was coming, but I didn't have a date. So the governor's going to issue the call for a special session on the 27th, you said?
Yes. And then, the other special session deals with reapportionment, and that must be hammered down before November the 11th, which is 1 year from the general election in 2023. So we'll have to do these pretty quick. We get through this one, we'll have a week or two off, and we'll be back in the second special.
Well, that's a busy fall season legislatively. And Connie, correct me if I'm wrong, but you first got elected in 2014 to the state house, is that correct?
That's correct.
So I think, yeah, so the first quadrennium, I was down there 2010 to 2018, and you and I served together. I was in the Senate, you in the House. But the first quadrennium I was there was before you. I think we had something like four or five special sessions in that quadrennium, and like three of them in 1 year. It was nuts. But, yeah, for the benefit of the listening audience, the legislature cannot call itself into session whenever it feels like it. Outside of regular sessions or just organizational sessions, the governor has to actually place a call for a special session, and that's what's about to happen now. So Connie, we got that coming up, and then we got the one following soon thereafter on reapportionment, which draws the lines for all our congressional and state house and senate districts and school board. But what else do you see? Anything else special sessions wise coming up this year, or is that going to be it?
No, it's not going to surprise me if this first special session is really tight. You know, we can only address in the session what the governor explicitly sets out. And I think that it will just be prisons. Maybe wrong, but there may be some other things included or some opportunities for other topics to be included. But it's not going to surprise me if it's extremely limited in focus so that we can get down to business and do something with the prisons in Alabama.
Well, and I think that's going to be huge. And I know that that listening to Speaker McCutcheon and others, that there's been talk that there probably wouldn't even be a call for a special unless they felt like they had the votes already in place. So I assume there's been a head count, and that they believe they're tracking towards some form of passage of a prison bill. Is that fair to say?
I think it is fair to say. You know, the governor supports this particular package. The Senate has their numbers. They reviewed it in a caucus, as much like we did last week. And I believe...
Oh, do we lose her? Is Connie still on the line? Hey, Representative Connie Rowe.
I am.
Oh, there you are.
I am.
You're back.
I apologize.
Okay. No, it's okay.
But I do believe that the numbers are there. The governor supports this. The Senate apparently supports it. The House, I think we have the numbers to pass it. So there was no reason for us to come back in if what we were going to do was, you know, argue for a period of time. There had been a lot of effort and a lot of time put into meeting at a common spot to creating a consensus so that we could move a piece of legislation forward. That actually, my biggest concern is that it will help us avoid federal intervention in our prison problems.
Well, I share that, and you know, the guys that work in Department of Corrections, I've said often that I'm not a fan of deficit spending. I'm not a fan of incurring government debt, but that I sometimes see the need to do so when our troops are in harm's way and they don't have what they need. And right now, the guys at ALDOC are law enforcement officers in a different form, and we've had several die in recent years in prison riots and things like that. So I look forward to seeing new facilities, despite what the liberals say that that's not important. I have some concerns about it. I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, I'll be transparent here, Connie. I got some concerns about the level of debt and the cost and whether it's really going to play out the way they say it is. And at Policy Institute, we're still kind of dissecting that. So I hope that we can get you back on later for a more detailed conversation on that as we move forward on that topic.
Absolutely. I think this, and I'll be real brief, that you have to think of the alternative of what it would cost us if the federal government came in and took our prisons over and solved the problems that exist in the way they think they should be solved. I think that we would be looking at a much greater expenditure made. So that's a very strong consideration. The other one is, like you said, this is a people decision, correctional officers and prisoners. You know, 95% of the prisoners that we put into the facilities in our state, we release. I'm not saying I'm a fan of that, but that's just a fact. And if we're going to release prisoners, I certainly think we need to release them with the best possibility of not coming back. And if that is addressing their mental health issues, making sure that they have addiction counseling, job training so that they can go to work when they get out, I'm certainly for that. Well, and it is impossible to do that in the facilities that exist today.
No, I don't disagree. I've toured some, and they're abominable. But hey, State Representative Connie Rowe, we're going to head to a short break. I'd like to come back from that break and keep you on, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about your new role and how you anticipate your role functioning in the State House. Is that good with you?
Absolutely. I'd love it.
All right. Well, hang on through the break. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with Representative Connie Rowe, soon to be senior advisor to the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Alabama. We'll be right back. 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Going back to the phones with my friend, State Representative Connie Rowe. State Representative for now, but coming first of the year, she's going to be Senior Advisor to the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Alabama. So, hey, Connie, how do you see your day-to-day in your new gig? What do you think?
Well, I think it'll be, I'll wake up in a new world every day. The Lieutenant Governor is just really committed, very hard worker, and a very busy man. So I think that it'll be a variety of issues. I'm very deeply involved in his interests because, you know, he's in charge of making Alabama a state that is very welcoming and supportive of our military. I'm sure that you agree with that. And I think that he has some, you know, future ideas in mind for that. We've talked about some of those. Also, you know, like I said, he always has a legislative package, and I certainly have a relationship with House members, and am happy to spend some time down on the fifth floor when we have something to sell and move on the floor downstairs. And I'm interested in looking forward to becoming more familiar with the process on the seventh floor. As you know, Senate and House are very different bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And while I know many of the senators, most of them, I have a lot to learn. And I'm glad at 58, I still have the potential to learn. So I'm excited about
it. Well, I tell you what, there were more than once when I would come down from the seventh floor, which for our listeners' benefit is where the state Senate is, down to the fifth floor. And it was like a beehive, like an ant farm. And I remember one time, I think I even looked at either you or somebody and I said, this place scares me. I'm going back upstairs. And but sometimes the rhythm upstairs can be crazy too, but with only 35 members, it definitely has a different atmosphere. But so will you actually be sitting up there at the dais while he's presiding over the state Senate during sessions?
Well, you know, currently he has a chief of staff, Jeannie Miller, a fine, fine woman from Marshall County, who is his chief of staff, and she will remain there through this session. And then he has a deputy chief of staff, Jess Gags, who is going to ascend to Judy's post when Judy retires.
Gotcha.
And so I've got to sit down with Pat. You know who Pat is.
I do.
Listeners may need to be familiarized with him, but Pat's in charge of the floor on in the Senate, and so I've got to have a conversation with Pat about where my spot is, and I'm just going to do whatever Pat tells me to do.
Well, and for those who don't know, Pat is the Secretary of the Senate, and we have parliamentarians like that on both the House and the Senate side, and they preside quite well. They're the ones who basically they're the boss without being the boss, if you know what I mean. But they they definitely keep the machine running, and they're also in charge of all the staff on that floor. Well, so Connie, I'm excited for you. I'm also excited for Will Ainsworth. I think he made a great choice. The loss is going to be experienced, though, when it comes time for things like fighting ridiculous gambling legislation like we saw in the last session, because you've always been strong on making sure that those kind of bills were lined up and in place correctly. And I look forward to seeing what you can do by cracking the whip from a different location.
I'm going to carry a dart upstairs with me with some sort of sedative so that I can slow Will down so that I can catch up with him, because he is just the hardest worker. He'll call me late at night, business on his mind. He'll call me early in the morning, and it's like, my godson, slow down. Sit down somewhere.
Well, he's a good one, and I have known him since he was in high school, to be honest. And but he's always been active. But anyway, listen, my friend, State Representative Connie Rowe, thank you for being on the show today. We intend to have you back on if you'll have us. Want to talk more about special sessions coming up later on in more detail. But for right now, congratulations on the new job.
I appreciate you. I'm so proud to be a guest. So everybody in the state of Alabama is talking about Right Side Radio. I could not be more proud or happy for
you. Well, thank you, my friend, and we will have you back on soon. All right, folks, that was State Representative Connie Rowe calling in from House District 13 in Jasper, where she has been serving the legislature now since 2014, but serving that community for many, many years, and she's going to be a great addition to the staff at the Lieutenant Governor's office. Well, we got lots of state stuff happening. I mean, I didn't even get to it. I got so much paper today, Copper. I mean, I... I brought all the paper with me, but I haven't even hardly touched it. There's things that are happening in our state right now that I haven't even gotten to, and I've got all this stuff about General Milley that I haven't gotten to, and then I've got all this stuff about Afghanistan that I haven't gotten to. I think I may have Monday's show already lined out. I'm not sure. But listen, folks, we got lots going on in this state, but you should be proud because the state is not in any way idle. Not in any way idle. And in the fight against federal overreach and in the fight to preserve liberty, while I may get frustrated with my brothers and sisters sometimes in the legislature that I served with, many of whom have been there while I was there, at the same time, I will say this, our state is faring better than others right now. And the fact that we have an attorney general willing to push back on this vaccine mandate, and that we have UAB recognizing that a bill passed by our legislature did indeed put them in a place where they could not mandate vaccines or should not mandate vaccines on their employees. And the fact that we now have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the entire nation. By the way, that's one of the news stories I've got here in all this paper that I printed out for the show today. We are down to 3.1% as a state. And that is huge, considering this time last year we were at 7.1%. I'm just telling you, good things are happening. And we'll come back in a minute, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. And by the way, if you want to call in during this last segment as we're heading into it, the number here is 866-494-9866. What do you think about the things we talked about today? What do you think about UAB recanting its vaccine mandate? What do you think about Dr. Jordan Vaughn? What do you think about Connie Rowe and the fact that we now have a special session set for prisons? Lots going on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We will be right back.